What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
For Project Spurs, I'm Paul Garcia, and this is the Spurscast. In today's episode, I'll be predicting minutes for some of the core players on the Spurs' roster for next season. Let's jump right into this episode. So it's been about 2 weeks since I last recorded a Spurscast episode. There hasn't been much going on with the team. The FIBA World Cup is taking place right now, and Sandro Mamukelashvili is participating with Georgia in that tournament. And so I will actually give an update on Mamu's play here toward the end of the episode. But for now, as far as the Spurs, there hasn't been much news. Like I said, in the last 2 weeks, there's been no roster moves, anything like that. So let's go ahead and jump into our first topic here, which is kind of just predicting minutes for next season. So what I've done here is I've listed the minutes of the players from last season, their minutes from last season. Then I have their name, and then I have their kind of what I give as a prediction for how many minutes I think they might get, the player, and then where the total team minutes are compounding to. Because that's going to be important when we talk about, you know, maybe who gets waived or traded down the line, since we know the Spurs have to waive or trade three players before opening night. And this might kind of just gives us a little bit different of an option of way of seeing the minutes load for the Spurs. Okay, so let's speak about the first player. That's Keldon Johnson. He played the most minutes last season. He averaged 32.8 minutes per game. And so I'm just predicting that he plays a similar amount, about 33 minutes a night. It's just what I'm looking at right now. So right now the total team minutes at 33. Then you have Devin Vassell. He played 31 minutes a night last year. And so I'm thinking he gets about Keldon's minutes, about 33 per night. So now we're at 66 as a team. Trey Jones, who re-signed as a free agent this offseason, he averaged 29.2 minutes per game last season. And so I think Pop might give him, you know, close to there, maybe right around 30, just throwing a number out there. So predicting 30 minutes for Trey Jones. And then so the team minutes is now at 96. So we got to remember that the most a team can get up to is 240 minutes. That's five players times, you know, with the 48 minutes. So the next player is a little bit tougher to predict, and that's Victor Wembanyama. So with his French team last year in the professional French league, he averaged 32.2 minutes per night. So I don't know if Pop and the Spurs would give him those exact minutes, 32.2. So I'm just going to say, just to play it safe, maybe like 30 minutes a night. So we're going to say Wemby's at 30. He's in his first year as a rookie in the NBA. So now the team is at 126 minutes. Then you have Jeremy Sochan. I don't know if he'll start or if he'll come off the bench, but he averaged 26 minutes a night last year as a rookie. And so I could see him getting a bit of a bump there, maybe like 28 minutes a night in year two. So now the Spurs are at 154 minutes. Malachi Branham, who had a good summer league showing and had a good rookie campaign, averaged 23.5 minutes per game last year. And so I'm saying he's going to get a bit of a bump, maybe like 26 minutes a night. So now the Spurs are at 180 minutes. Then you have Zach Collins, who is going to be the starting center most likely. So he averaged 22.9 minutes last year. We did see him get a bump in minutes once Jakob Poeltl got traded. So I'm going to say he's at like 25. Maybe he gets about 25 minutes a night since he is a veteran player on the Spurs roster. So now the team is at 205 minutes. And then lastly, even though he's in the final year of his contract, I'm going to say we're going to talk about Doug McDermott here. So Doug, he averaged 20.5 minutes per game last year. So I'm going to say, because he's a veteran, again, we don't know exactly how far into the long term for the Spurs' future he's with the team. I'm just going to say 20 minutes tonight for now. And so that puts the team at 225 minutes between eight players. And So again, this is just on paper, where I'm looking at a minutes distribution. And so we know that not every one of these players are going to play in all these games and have all these minutes every night. You know, there's going to be different circumstances on why a player may or may not get those minutes or be in or out of a game. So that's 225 minutes for eight players. That leaves 15 minutes left in the game. So, you know, that's where you can start looking at, you know, who are the Spurs going to give those minutes to? I would just, again, looking at those eight players, if those are the players getting the key minutes, I would say, you know, where are some minutes available? I would say at the backup point guard position and also at the backup big, maybe someone behind Zach and Wemby, who's that player behind them? So first, let's talk about options not on the bubble. So when I say not on the bubble, these are players who we don't expect will get traded or waived before opening night. So that's Julian Champagne, who the Spurs just re-signed. Charles Bassey, who the Spurs gave a multi-year deal to last year. Blake Wesley, who's still in his rookie deal, even though he did have a struggling summer league. Sandru Mamukelashvili, who re-signed and is having a good start with Georgia in the World Cup. Cedi Sissoko, who the Spurs just drafted in the second round and then gave him a full roster spot. And then you have Dominic Barlow and Serge Ibaka-Rice, who are both on two-way deals. So those are players not on the bubble. So maybe two of those players can fight for some minutes. Then we look at the options of the Spurs players on the bubble to be traded or waived. And these are players who are all have in the final year of their deal, except for Devontae Graham, who has a partially guaranteed deal for the following season. So that's Devontae Graham, Kem Birch, Cameron Payne, Jetty Osman, and Reggie Bullock. So again, I don't know if the Spurs would, you know, I think two of the players who have a good chance of staying out of those five players, if they don't get traded or waived, are Osman and Bullock. I feel like the Spurs would want to hold on to those players. Those are players at the wing that you can plug into different positions. And then, you know, you could try to move them at the February trade deadline. Whereas if they can't find a trade for Devontae Graham, Kem Birch, and Cam Payne, maybe the Spurs would have to end up waiving those players. But that also throws that question of, you know, are the Spurs ready to give the backup point guard minutes to Blake Wesley? If they're not, well, then, you know, maybe they hang on to Payne or Devontae Graham. So again, that's just a little bit of looking at the Spurs' minutes rotation prediction, should I say, going into next season. So again, they still need to waiver trade three more players to get this roster down. And then I think that the picture becomes a little bit more clear, but San Antonio definitely has a lot of options there with their minutes distribution for next season.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And now for the second topic, because like I said, there hasn't been much basketball, you know, notes or anything going on with the Spurs. Let's talk about Sandru Mamukelashvili at the FIBA World Cup with Georgia. So let's go back to Saturday. The country defeated the Cape Verde by 25 points on Saturday. So Georgia got a blowout win there. Mamu came off the bench in this game in the first half, and then he started the second half. Just a few observations I saw in some of his plays. He had a really nice one-handed open court bounce pass to a teammate who finished, I think, a layup or dunk. He played a lot of 3 and 4 there out on the floor. He also demonstrated his ability to initiate, kind of drive in, and then kick out to some shooters. And then if not, he was in the corners the other times that Georgia didn't have him running some of the offense. So again, we got to see a little bit more of his versatility and his playmaking there in that game. He also set a number of screens and pick and pop, and he showed he can be a pick and pop option where he can make a three. He showed he can be a pick and roll option where he puts the ball on the floor and tries to create for himself or others when setting screens. So he showed different elements of his game there with Georgia, especially that he finished in 26 minutes. He got a lot of minutes here out of a 40 minute game. He finishes with 10 points on 7 shots, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 turnovers. But I will note that a lot of the entire team had a high number of turnovers, and then 3 fouls. And then the most recent game for Georgia with Mamu came on Monday, where they faced Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks and Slovenia. So Slovenia ends up winning this game by 21 points. I was able to catch it on Monday. And so basically like Georgia kind of hung in there for about three quarters. And then it was about the fourth that Slovenia really started to put the game away, and they ended up winning, like I said, by 21 points. Mamu though had a great game for Georgia. He was their leading scorer. He comes off the bench again in this one. So he scores 21 points on 15 shot attempts in 33 minutes. He collects 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and just 2 turnovers. So that's a better showing for him, going from 6 turnovers to now 2 turnovers. And same story here, where he came off the bench in the first half, and then the second half begins, and the Georgia team started him there. And so just some notes that I took when I was watching this game was he was just much more aggressive taking shots and driving to the rim. So we saw a number of times that he was putting the ball on the floor, trying to finish through contact and finish with left-handed layups. He showed his finishing around the rim. Like I said, he even had a very nifty possession where he like took like a mid-range jumper. He did a little bit of a crossover into the pull-up jumper, and he made it. So we saw a little bit more of his offensive aggressiveness there, especially taking shots in this game, where he put up 15 shots, which is a team high. And then defensively, we've got to see some of his versatility there as well, where he guarded, defended Luka Doncic for a number of possessions starting up top, and just try to contain him as best as he could. No one on Georgia was able to contain Luka. He went off, I think he had like 32 points and almost like a triple-double, like 10 rebounds and I think 8 assists, something like that. So Luka, you know, no one's going to stop Luka, especially if it's a team not even full of NBA players. So Mamu's, again, he's having a good showing here in two games with Georgia. Now, Georgia does have one group play game left, and that is on Wednesday against Venezuela. And so I think that if they win that game, they're probably they do advance the next round. If not, there's going to be some criteria if they win, when maybe Cape Verde needs to also win. But then, like, you know, I think, I don't know if it's point differential. I haven't looked into the FIBA rules here about how you exactly advance if you've lost a game, but right now Georgia is in pretty good position, I would say, to advance. So Mamu's had a good showing here with Georgia. So again, if you want to catch his games, he's playing with the international team. It's pretty tough to watch them if you're in the States, because these games are like at 2 a.m., 6 a.m. So you might want to use some of the apps to watch like a replay, like I watched it on ESPN+. Okay, and then our last topic is just, I call this topic another quiet month, because that's kind of what's going on here. So I'm recording this episode on August 28th, and we still have a month of no basketball, basically, aside from the FIBA World Cup, obviously, that's going on. But as far as the Spurs and other NBA teams, there's not much going on. I mean, we have another dead month here of just nothing, really, because training camps for most teams don't start until early October. I think October 2nd would be the date for Spurs and Media Day. So again, there's not much going to be happening right now, because a lot of these teams, unless a player's on a non-guaranteed contract that's about to trigger, have a trigger date in September that's going to become a guaranteed contract, then there's no urgency to try to move players or try to sign players right now. It's just kind of just like everybody's like on vacation or kind of just in the gym working out the players in these open runs. And so that's why I just call this another quiet month coming up September, because I don't see a lot of fireworks happening regarding the Spurs or even a lot of the other teams. And so, because there's not really a deadline there for the Spurs until, like I said, the first game of the regular season, which is about mid-October. So they have about a month and a half before they even have to make these cuts, these roster cuts or these trades that need to happen. So that's why I said it is another quiet month. And then just something I talked about last time when I recorded was just, the possible Devin Vassell contract extension. That's obviously something still we're watching for. Again, that also has a deadline until mid-October, or I think it's either before the first game of the regular season or if not Halloween night. So again, there's a long time before the Spurs have to make a decision with Devin Vassell on a contract extension. I'm still of the belief that if they do come to an extension, both parties, that it'll be somewhere in that $21 million to $25 million range for Devin. $21 million is 15% of the cap. That's what Kelton's getting. It's 15% of the cap right now. And then if it's $25 million, then it's 18% of the cap. So a bit more than what Kelton got, but still kind of in that ballpark in that range. So again, that's why I still think that the Spurs and Devin will come to an agreement on a contract extension. As of right now, though, like I said, there's not a lot of urgency to get that done until the October actually gets here. So again, we still got a month. September is not even here yet. And we'll see what happens with the Spurs, if they make any roster moves in this next month or if they figure out the contract extension with Devin. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. The music for this episode was written by Vincent Garcia and Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.